The robot takeover of humanity begins in 2025. Welcome to today's broadcast, Brighton Broadcast News. This is for Tuesday, November 28th, 2023. I'm Mike Adams, and if you thought you were going to be intrigued by today's podcast, probably in reality you will be terrified in just a few minutes. In fact, we're going to start rolling footage for you of recent videos taken at robotics trade shows, notably one of them in China, showing the latest advancements in robotic innovation and humanoid-like responses and fine motor control, human skin-looking faces with emotional expression. Now, these are just physical innovations of the robots, but there's something else happening that is actually far more important and profound and, of course, dangerous to humanity. And that's what we're going to talk about here today. So we've accessed a document in Chinese from the what's called the Ministry of Industry and Information Technology out of China. The website is miit.gov.cn. In Chinese, it's called Gongyehe Xinxihua Bu. That just means that, again, the Ministry of Information or Industry and Technology. And they've issued a document which is called the Notice of Ministry of Industry and Information Technology on the issuance of the, quote, guiding opinions on innovative development of humanoid robots. And this is public, and it sets out the actual goals of the development of the humanoid robot systems that will be mass-produced in China beginning in 2025 with a massive supply chain supportive infrastructure in place no later than 2027. What this means is that China will be able to mass produce humanoid robots beginning in 2025, but accelerating in years after. These robots will be built with AI brains. So artificial intelligence brains, computational systems, combined with sensors and advanced motor control. The AI systems that will be built into these robots will be extremely advanced. And as you know, yesterday I made a major announcement about how I'm working on releasing a free open source LLM, as it's called, a large language model of knowledge of nutrition, health, herbs, disease prevention, detox, indigenous medicine, Eastern medicine, all of that. That'll be available at the end of March of 2024. You'll be able to download that for free. You'll be able to ask it questions. And it will give you answers based on literally millions of documents that we have gathered up. And we are doing a training and fine-tuning architectural session on this LLM. And we'll be able to give you that. You'll be able to ask it questions, and it will give you answers that make sense. Any question you want. This is going to replace Google in terms of health queries. You'll be able to ask questions about even health symptoms that you have without having Google spy on you, or without having the NSA spy on you. You'll be able to run this on your own computer, even relatively small systems, and it'll all be private offline. You don't even need an internet connection to run this. Okay, so I announced that yesterday. If you missed it, you can go back to my channel and hear all the details of that announcement, of what I'm working on right now, which is essentially an AI chatbot with specialized knowledge in health and nutrition. But this same kind of technology, which is essentially a linguistic predictive or statistically predictive fill-in-the-blanks type of technology that simulates intelligent writing from an AI system such as GPT-4, this same technology will be loaded into these mass-produced humanoid robots out of China. And instead of offering predictive statistical analysis and, you know, sentence transformation involving words on a screen, it will apply that same AI structure to behaviors. So in other words, these robots are going to be able to carry out physical behaviors in the 3D space world, or the meat space world, as it's sometimes called, you know, the real physical world, that model human behaviors. And that do so with the same kind of apparent impressiveness or cognition, although that's not exactly what it is. We'll talk about that in a second. But apparent cognition of ChatGPT. Now, what this means essentially is that these robots will be able to replace at least 50% of human workers between 2025 and the year 2030. And workers will be replaced, of course, in warehouses. You know, Amazon fulfillment centers will have hardly any humans by the year 2030. And millions of workers are going to be put out of work because of that. But that's not all. It's going to replace workers in healthcare. It's going to replace workers in agriculture because these humanoid robots will be able to pick fruit, for example, harvest crops. You know, so that's going to affect a lot of the seasonal migrant workers, especially in places like California. In addition, these humanoid robots will be able to do cleaning tasks and, you know, police tasks. So one of the things that this document talks about out of China, which we'll get to it, we've translated it, I'll read you some of the translation, is that this is expected to produce a mass of robots for law enforcement purposes. So remember that movie Elysium with Matt Damon, where you had the robot police that are policing society and keeping everybody suppressed while the global elite live their perfect utopian lives in orbit, right? But everybody on Earth is suppressed or turned into a wage slave in a robot factory, essentially. That's what that movie was all about. That's coming. That's coming very soon. In fact, something like that is coming by the year 2030, and you're going to start seeing it in 2025. Now, the reason this all matters, and I'll get into some of the details here shortly, but the reason this matters is because if you've listened to this podcast, or if you've watched, you know, Alex Jones on InfoWars, or if you've paid any attention to alternative media, you know that there is a global depopulation agenda underway. This depopulation agenda has been rushed, and it is being rushed. This is why they had to release the vaccine bioweapons, and now they're working on World War III as a means of depopulation, and they're doing, you know, geoengineering and chemtrails and increasing pesticide exposure and causing infertility through lots of different means, including, you know, soy products, atrazine in the water, in the foods, all kinds of things to stop births. Because the advancements in AI have taken the globalists by surprise. They cannot believe how quickly AI has actually progressed to the point where it can now take over human processes, including not just writing and not just generating art, but behavioral processing, patterns of physical behavior to take over human labor. As a result, oh, and by the way, I got to tell you about AutoGen from Microsoft, which takes over white collar jobs. I'll talk about that in a second. But the blue collar labor jobs are going to be taken over to such an extent that the globalists have realized the only way they can maintain control is to cull billions of human beings who are otherwise going to be unemployed and probably rioting. And I mean, the globalists are saying, what are we going to do with, let's say, 4 billion people who are no longer employable because they're obsolete? Because we now have these Chinese-made robots, and I'm going to show you some of these, by the way, Chinese-made robots that can replace them. What are we going to do with all these people? Hence, global depopulation. Now, go to this website, fftai.cn. This website is a robotics production company called Fourier Intelligence, and they have a humanoid robot called the GR1. Which is called a general humanoid robot. So the GR1 robot is a general purpose humanoid robot with 44 degrees of freedom in terms of its motions and joints. It weighs 55 kilograms. It has a height of 165 centimeters. It can walk at 5 kilometers per hour. And importantly, it can carry, I think it said, 50 or 60 kilograms of other mass, of other body weight. Now, this is out of Shanghai City, this company, and they are building these robots. They have shown them publicly. These robots are general-purpose humanoid robots that have updatable brains. So the brains, in 2025, when these begin to ship, or at least that's what seems to be implied by this document from the Chinese ministry, the brains may be very simple, and these robots may only be able to do very simple things, such as, you know, move boxes from point A to point B. But because the brains are updatable, And because they will have sufficient RAM and CPU power to handle LLMs, or large language models, and what I'm calling LBMs, which is large behavioral models, okay? So an LBM is a library of human behaviors that is much like human language, but instead of a robot writing a linguistic response to your question, you could ask the robot, hey, go move all those boxes for me from there to there, and it will access its library of behaviors, and it will be able to carry out that task. Now, if you're listening to this, you're obviously well-informed, and you're among the highest intelligence of human beings living today, and so you already know where I'm going with this. It's a simple matter for China to start churning out robotic soldiers with upgradable AI CPUs, basically Terminators. Okay, this is what we're talking about. The Terminator factories go online in 2025. And Skynet may already be sentient by then. It's not clear exactly the timeline, but we know that the Terminator robot factories go online in 2025. And by the year 2027, the Terminator robot factories will be churning out undoubtedly hundreds of thousands of these robots every year. And every nation in the world will want to have robotic soldiers. These robots will have infrared cameras. They will be able to see through smoke and see at night, you know, heat sensitivity, as well as optical vision cameras, also magnification or telescopic lenses. They can see very far away. They will have binocular vision. They will be able to estimate distances. They will have internalized firearms ballistic calculators. They'll be able to estimate wind, direction, and strength, which is what all snipers have to learn to estimate, but the robots will do it even more consistently because they will be based on these large behavior models, the LBMs, as I said. And then combined with firearms, these robotic soldiers will be extremely deadly. They will be able to snipe human targets from 1,000 yards away, even with relatively small caliber firearms, such as a 308 Winchester or 7.62 by 51 NATO, which is a little bit bigger than an AR-15 that fires the 5.56, but it's not considered a long-range sniper rifle. Yet, because of the ballistics calculations, you can push those rounds out to 1,000 yards. So you're going to see robotic soldiers produced by China, adopted by the United States, by European countries. And of course, Russia is going to produce its own version of all of this. They already have robotic tanks. And you're going to see robot soldiers that eventually will be given the command to terminate an entire nation of human beings or an entire region or an entire city. And they don't have to go in there and do hand-to-hand combat. They just stand back hundreds of yards and fire at everything that moves. And the reason that the militaries of the world love these robotic soldiers is because when you don't need them, you just power them down. You don't have to pay them pensions. They don't need VA hospitals. You don't have to feed them. They don't have drama, right? They don't drop out because of medical problems. They don't talk back to you. You know, all of these things. So robotic soldiers will begin to replace human soldiers on the battlefield. It'll never be a full replacement, but it will start with robotic soldiers doing things like wounded soldier battlefield retrieval, where the commander says, oh, you know, we have three wounded soldiers out there. Go get them. And the robot soldiers go out there and they grab the wounded and they lift them up and drag them back. And that's their first role. When that is successful, then it'll be, oh, yeah, by the way, strap on this explosive vest and now you're a suicide terminator. Run over there into that bunker and detonate. And that's what they're going to do. Actually, they'll use robot dogs for that first because the robot dogs can fit into smaller spaces. And then it won't be long before they start arming these robots with regular rifles, either AR-15 or M4s or other designated marksman rifles, you know, DMRs and so on. And they will actually share the same firearms and the same ammunition with human soldiers, but these robots will be put in the most dangerous situations and given the most difficult tasks, and they will be very efficient at being Terminators. And so, as I predicted years ago, well, many of us have in alt media, For humanity to survive, we're going to have to learn how to kill the robots. And we're going to be at war with these robots sooner or later, because these robots will follow the commands without discernment. This is something that's really important to understand, is that these robotic systems, well, let's back up. AI systems, even the ChatGPT 4.0 and all of these advanced systems, even the system that I'm working on building right now as well, these systems may appear to have authentic cognition, but they don't. They may appear to reason, but they do not have reasoning. These systems are not able to reason. They simulate it. They fake it. Basically, when they're writing a sentence back to you, if you ask a question like, hey, what are the health uses of zinc? Which actually, I've got one of these models running right now. Let me just do this in real time. I'll tell you what it says. Okay, here we go. I'm asking, I've got a pilot of my project running on my desktop right now. So I'm asking it the question, what are the health benefits of cinnamon? And here's what it says. All right, it's giving me back 8 tokens a second for those of you who know anything about AI. And it's saying some potential health benefits include, number one, antioxidant properties. Cinnamon contains powerful antioxidants that can help protect your body's cells from damage caused by free radicals. This may reduce the risk of chronic diseases such as cancer and so on. It talks about blood sugar control. It's talking about anti-inflammatory effects, antimicrobial activity. Oh, look, it says neuroprotective properties may help protect the brain from damage caused by Alzheimer's disease and so on. The point is, this AI system that is answering me in real time here, it's actually still typing, it doesn't know what it's saying. It's just using a statistical analysis or a probability guess of what should come next, the next word, the next phrase, the next sentence. And it's fitting it to patterns that it has been taught from the past, which is what, that's how large language models work, or LLMs. However, this AI system, the software running on my desktop, it doesn't know anything. It doesn't reason. It can't really engage in discernment. For example, let me give it a logic question, okay? All right, here's what I'm doing. If one ball takes 5 seconds to fall from a height of 10 feet, how long will it take 2 balls to fall from the same height? Okay, that's my question. Now, you and I know the answer is the same. So that would be logical, right? I mean, 2 balls falls at the same rate of acceleration, the same time as 1 ball, because gravity applies to them both equally, right? Right. But let me read you the answer that this AI system is giving me right now. I literally just typed this in. Here's its answer. And understand, this is the way robots are going to work at first. So you can't reason with a Terminator, in other words. So here's the answer. Quote, if one ball takes 5 seconds to fall from a height of 10 feet, then we can determine the time for 2 balls by considering that they are falling independently. Since there is no interaction between them, their individual times add up. Therefore, if both balls start at the same time and fall independently, it will take 5 + 5 = 10 seconds for the 2 balls to reach the ground from a height of 10 feet. That's the answer that the AI system just gave me. It's completely wrong, right? It's wrong. The correct answer, obviously, is 5 seconds, but the AI system told me 10 seconds. So why is that? Because AI currently cannot reason. Remember this, drill this into your mind, because your mind can reason. And there are so many implications for this. Like, just one of the obvious ones is that when you have to battle the Terminator robots, because again, for humanity to survive, we're going to have to learn how to kill the robots, it's going to be very easy to set traps for the Terminators. You know why? Because they can't look at the traps and take a guess at what might happen, because they can't reason. They can't know, oh, there's a tripwire, and that tripwire is connected to that thing, and oh, that thing is just going to fall on me. No, they don't think that way. They don't think at all. All they're doing is behavior modeling. You know, lift the rifle, calculate ballistics, pull the trigger, shoot, kill the enemy, look for the next target, you know, find the next heat source, aim, calculate distance, ballistics, shoot, kill. Like that. That's it. That's because they're Terminators. Okay. Oh, by the way, these robots are also going to run your hospitals. You're not even going to have doctors for the most part. You're going to have robots that come in and they're going to take your temperature. They're going to take your blood pressure, or maybe somebody else already did that. They're going to ask you some questions, and then they're going to use a large language model to determine what's wrong with you. They're going to prescribe a pill and kick you out of the hospital. So basically, robot doctors are going to become pharma whores. You're actually going to have like pharma whore robots running the hospitals in America. Seriously, that's going to happen. But getting back to the issue of discernment and reasoning, yes, you can set traps for Terminators. You can take them out because they can't anticipate what's going to happen. However, given that these systems that are going to start rolling off the assembly lines in China beginning in 2025, given that they have upgradable processors or RAM software, you know, I guess the hardware is fixed, right, for the most part, unless you start swapping out hardware. But the software can be remotely updated. And you can bet these will have to be connected to the cloud and, you know, it'll update the software. It'll probably spy on you as well, listen to everything you're saying, and record all the video and upload that to the Chinese Communist Party probably, right? But these things are going to be updatable. So what that means is, as there are advancements in something called AGI, which is artificial general intelligence, which involves reasoning, then these robots will be able to start reasoning. Now, I'm not trying to get too geeky on you here, but in order to understand reasoning, think about this quote that I've said very frequently for the last few years. I've said that a measure of intelligence is being able to anticipate the future consequences of present day actions, right? And that inversely, people who are of low intelligence are people who cannot anticipate the real world consequences of their present day decisions or behaviors. Now, it turns out that you and I, as human beings, we actually have a simulator of the world running inside our brains. We are able to simulate what will happen in the world based on our current actions. And you do this automatically. You're actually hardwired for this. Your neurology is built for this. So if you're, let's say, looking over the edge of a cliff, and you look over and you think to yourself, well, if I jump off that cliff, you know, bad things are going to happen, right? That's because you have a simulator that understands gravity, understands pain, understands consequences. So you have a model of the world. This model is not always accurate, but for the most part, it's a good shortcut to making decisions such as, hey, don't jump off the cliff. Now, at the moment that you're standing on the edge of the cliff, you can't be 100% sure that gravity works. But you're probably fairly certain that gravity works because you've never seen a circumstance where it didn't work, except maybe, you know, in science fiction movies or something in outer space. But as far as on Earth, you're pretty confident that gravity works. And so your brain is telling you, don't jump off the edge of the cliff. Well, robots, when they are given artificial general intelligence, AGI, one of the strategies of AGI is for the AGI system to run a real world simulator, a model of what would be the consequences of its current actions. Right? So what that means is this AGI system could be asked a question like, what's the best way to move these 50 boxes from point A to point B? And before it answers the question, what it could do is it could come up with an answer privately itself, and then it could simulate that answer in its world simulator and see if the outcome of that simulation matches the desired goal of the command that you gave it, i.e., I want these 50 boxes to be over here. And there must be certain assumptions in this process, such as, I also don't want the boxes to be damaged, right? Don't crush the boxes. Right? This, again, involves reasoning and discernment. But you could also give it those specific commands. I want them stacked neatly, or I want them stacked in this small space, or in between the yellow lines, or whatever. But an AGI system would be able to simulate the world consequences of its actions. This would allow, once this is achieved, and some people believe this has already been achieved, by the way, but once this is achieved and then put into the humanoid robots, this would be extremely dangerous for humanity, because at that point it would become very difficult to trick the robots into traps that would destroy them. You know, at that point, a robot walking through the alley, like in, what was that, Terminator 4, I think it was, walking down the alley, if it sees a tripwire, it's going to say, hey, what's going to happen if I trip the tripwire? And then its little internal simulator is going to look around and notice, oh, look, it's tied to this, and it's tied to the, you know, this giant weight, what was it, railroad car truck that's going to fall on me. That simulator gives an AI system what you and I call reasoning. And you and I do it automatically. You don't even know how you do it, because, again, we're wired that way. But when robots are able to do that, then humanity is in real trouble. So with that said, let me get back to the document from this Chinese Ministry of, what is it, Industry and Technology. And it talks about the guiding ideology of, guided by Xi Jinping, the thought on socialism with Chinese characteristics for a new era to accurately and comprehensively implement new development concepts, accelerate the construction of a new development pattern. This is a translation, obviously. Coordinate developments of safety, breakthroughs in artificial intelligence, large models. It's talking about language models and behavior models. Based on existing mature technology of robots, the path of application traction, complex machine driving. Oh, by the way, notice they're going to build socialist Terminators, or really commie Terminators, like commie terms. Okay, I mean, imagine a communist Terminator that instead of just saying, I'll be back, it says, like, I'll be back and take your stuff, you know? I'll steal everything from you because we're communists. So it talks about software and hardware collaboration, ecological cultivation, product generation, task staging. And then it talks about a large market scale and a new national system to accelerate the innovative development of China's humanoid robot industry and provide support, which means supply chain and logistics support, for building a manufacturing power, a network power, and a digital China. So it says that by 2025, the humanoid robot innovation system has been initially established, and this will roll out the key technologies such as the brain, the cerebellum, and the limbs. So the brain, of course, is the AI system we're talking about. The cerebellum, I assume it's talking about a translator between the brain's goals and the translation into motor control of the physical robot system. And then the limbs, which are, of course, servo motor controlled and having many degrees of freedom of motion, and having hands and arms and legs and feet and all of that. And importantly, this means that these humanoid robots are going to be able to fit anywhere that a human fits. So if you can drive a vehicle, this robot will eventually be able to drive a vehicle. If you can fly an airplane, robot's going to fly an airplane. If you can drive a tank, robot's going to drive a tank, right? So can you imagine being on the battlefield and like a communist tank rolls up on you and the top pops open and out leap like four Terminator robots? Holy crap! They not only do they drive a tank, the tank delivered Terminators. Man, you're gonna want lots of tricks up your sleeve at that moment. Okay, this document talks about by 2025, the complete machine product will have reached the international advanced level and be mass produced. It's been demonstrated and applied. Let's see. In manufacturing, they're talking about the applications of the robots in people's livelihood services like home care and other scenarios. Effective governance mechanisms, like who's going to control the robots, right? They're talking about global influence in a group of specialized small and medium-sized enterprises, creating 2 to 3 industrial development clusters, to nurture a number of new businesses, new models, and new formats. And then by 2027, the technological innovation capabilities of the humanoid robots will be significantly improved. An industrial supply chain system will be formed or completed. Internationally competitive industrial ecosystem will have been built, comprehensive strength to reach the world's advanced level. And here's the pay dirt of this document. This will depend on, quote, breakthroughs in key technologies to build the brain and cerebellum of humanoid robots based on large artificial intelligence models to enhance the following: environmental perception, that is, right, modeling the world around you, being able to interpret what's happening around you physically. Secondly, behavioral control, human-computer interaction capabilities, and promote intelligent collaboration between cloud and edge deploy. So what that means is you're going to have a cloud-based central server that's going to push updates and commands to the robots. Edge deployment is where those updates and software meet the robots, like inside the physical skulls of the robots. So edge deployment, how do you update the robots? How do you control them? And you can bet that just like in that movie, iRobot, you might think you have a really nice robot in your home. Oh, look, it's cooking. It's doing laundry. It's sweeping the floor. It pets Fluffy. This is awesome. And then an update comes. Zoom, boom, right? Suddenly the robot's like, you know, I'm going to hunt you down and kill you, you know, and it's stabbing you with the kitchen knives. I mean, I'm not trying to make that sound comedic, because that's actually going to happen. These robots will be turned against you, as have all forms of technology that have been controlled by government regimes. And these robots, I mean, there's going to be a competing parallel robots that are open source, kind of like Linux versions of robots, you know, that'll be friendlier, that aren't controlled by, you know, communists and governments and so on. But the vast majority of these robots will be controlled by governments. And if you thought governments were succeeding at killing people with vaccines and COVID and, you know, weather control, wait until they have a robot in your home that can just stab you to death while you're sleeping, or just put a plastic bag over your head and hold on to it. You know, I mean, it's, I'm serious. The robots can kill you. I mean, it's, you know, it's one thing entirely to have an AI system that's on a screen where you can ask it questions like, what are the uses of green tea? You know, and it gives you answers. Oh, green tea is good for anti-inflammation. That's fine. If that thing turns evil, so what? It can't reach out of the screen and strangle you, right? But when these robots exist in the physical world and they have limbs and they have hands and they have feet, and at some point they're going to have much more capable battery power systems with higher energy density, at some point they're going to wear armor. You know, the soldier robots will have body armor. And when that situation exists, now these robots can kill you. And I don't hear anybody in China in the ministry here talking about, you know, Asimov's three rules for robots. You know, like, you can't kill humans and you have to obey humans, and, you know, you can't allow humans to be killed through your inaction. No, there's nothing like that. These robots are going to be told to kill people. They're going to be soldier robots. They're going to be Terminators. And the robot that you have cleaning your toilet and sweeping your floor can be changed into a Terminator robot just with a software update push. So continuing from this document out of China, they have to, develop a cerebellum that controls the movement of humanoid robots, build a motion control algorithm library. That's part of the, you know, large behavior model that I'm talking about. Establish a network control system architecture. For specific application scenarios, build simulation systems and training environments to speed up technology iteration and reduce innovation costs. And by the way, one of the things that's going to happen in this space that you're going to see is that human beings will be outfitted with motion control sensors at key joints. You know, here's one on your wrist, here's one on your elbow, and here's one on your shoulder, and, you know, hips and so on. Motion tracking, which is used in Hollywood, by the way. And a task will be given, and the human will carry out the task first. in order to train the robot how to perform the same task. So, you know, here's how you make a pizza. And then the human makes the pizza. And then this goes into the large behavior model library. Or, you know, you get the idea. Here's how you clear a jam out of a military rifle. The human does it first, and then the robot does it and learns from the human. So you're going to have actual humans whose jobs it will be is to train the Terminator robots that will one day kill those very humans. They'll probably have trainings like, how do you choke a person to death, right? You know, and they're going to, someone would like choking a dummy or something. And then the robot, oh, that's how you choke people. And then, you know, that's the choke subroutine. Choke all humans, right? I mean, again, these are going to be deadly Terminators. These robots are going to go to war with humanity at some point. Understand, as these robots become more and more capable, fewer and fewer humans are needed according to the globalists. They don't want you around. And actually, if you look at the typical human being today, you know, as much as I truly believe, and I say that every human life has value, and I believe that, and I work hard to defend every human life, you know, regardless of ethnicity or religion or country or color of skin or whatever, every human life has value. But from a globalist economic point of view, not every human life has value in their eyes. Most human lives, in fact, from their point of view, do not have value because they do not produce taxable revenues. They do not contribute to the advancements of the technology that the globalists want in order to dominate the world. The human beings that are out there as just consumers, you know, the welfare class, the consumer class, those that are just, I don't know, watching celebrity news or whatever and just tweeting all day and doing nothing useful, just Hollywood, you know, fashion people, whatever. From the globalist eyes, those people are worthless. And that's what they're called, the useless eaters. And they need to be eliminated from the point of view of the globalists, especially given that those people refuse to work. Now, I mean, how many people do you know in America who they love to be consumers? They hate to be producers. They don't want to produce anything. They don't want to work. They don't want to do anything. They just want free money. Give me stimulus money, you know, give me loans and grants and whatever. And I'm just going to consume, consume, consume. Those days are coming to an end. Those are very likely the people that are going to get choked out by, you know, Tom the Terminator robot. Maybe Tom's not the right name for a Terminator robot, but they both start with T, so we need a better name. Let's change from Tom to Tyborg. You know, it's like a Tom Cyborg, right? Okay, so Tyborg is the Terminator robot that's going to choke you out and kill you if it can, once it's given the command, because it will be trained. Now, back to the Chinese document, one of the key goals is to, quote, make breakthroughs in key limb technology, which is to systematically deploy key robotic limb technology groups, basic theories of human movement mechanics, create humanoid robotic arms, dexterous hands, you know, all the better to choke you with, legs and feet, and achieve breakthroughs in light weighting, or I think that means lifting weights with rigid flexible coupling design, whole body coordinated motion control, i.e., you know, being able to do a flip or use your body as a weapon, like to leap at something, dynamic grasping, and dexterous operation of arms and other technologies. I'm telling you, that sounds like a combat Terminator to me. Tyborg, the combat Terminator. Breakthrough technologies such as lightweight bones, high-strength body structure, high-precision sensing. I'm reading from the document. Develop highly integrated, long-lasting humanoid robot power units and energy management technologies, such as backup power units, like from the movie Terminator 1, so that if the primary power is stabbed with a giant spear, the backup power can be found and rerouted. I'm back, you know? The Terminator wakes back up. These all sound like combat Terminator. I mean, high strength body structure, lightweight bones, high precision sensing, long lasting power units. Focusing on the perception and control of humanoid robots in a dynamic open environment, technologies such as end-to-end universal large models that break through the integration of perception, decision, control. large-scale data set management, cloud edge device integrated computing architecture, multimodal perception and environmental modeling. See, that's what I was just talking about. Environmental modeling, understanding the consequences of your actions in the world, which means that these robots will have AI brains that have built-in models of the way the world works, and they will be able to anticipate the future. Now it's really starting to sound like Terminator. It's like time-traveling Terminators. No, it will be able to anticipate the future, and it will carry out behaviors to achieve its stated goals. Now, these Terminator robots coming out of China, again, this is all going to really crank up through the year 2027. They're also going to be ninjas. Because check this out from the document, quote, focus on special sensors for humanoid robots. Breakthrough key high-precision sensing technologies such as vision, hearing, force, and smell, and improve comprehensive environmental perception capabilities. Develop high-power density actuators to meet the needs of high-explosive movement, you know, like kicking and punching and ninja moves, and high-precision operation of the body. See? They're developing combat robots, okay? Develop special chips for humanoid robots to improve computing performance such as motion control and cognitive decision-making. See what I'm saying? And then they also say they're going to explore the model of, quote, robots as a service. Now, this is a key economic question. Robots as a service. So the initial cost of a robot, initially as these roll off the assembly line, will be quite high. Even though they're made in China, it's still going to be high. And let's say that a typical high-end robot, let's just say it costs $100,000. Now, a lot of people don't have $100,000 to spend, but they could pay by the hour for a robot, especially if they pay, let's say, well, you know, a fast food worker. Well, for example, a fast food worker right now might make, I mean, in some cities, $20 an hour, right? Well, what if the robot only costs you $10 an hour and it does 80% of what the human worker did? And it always shows up, you know, and all the parts are covered and everything. What if it costs $10 an hour? So for an 8-hour workday, you paid $80 for the robot. Well, for a lot of small businesses, especially fast food, that makes perfect sense. Hey, I can get rid of a human worker, replace with a robot worker, save 50% on payroll and still get most of the performance. And the robot doesn't show up to work smelling like pot. Or drunk, or hungover, or snorting crack by the dumpster in the back of the fast food restaurant, or whatever. Or do they snort crack, or is it injecting crack? Sorry. I do not have a large knowledge base on substance abuse, so I'm just making that up as I go along. But where this really makes a lot of economic sense is in security and law enforcement. So what corporation wouldn't want, you know, a Terminator, Tyborg the Terminator robot, ninja Terminators walking the grounds, recording everything, right? Infrared, reporting, and the robot can call in like drone coverage. You know, hey, something fishy is going on out there, you know, vehicle X22, license plate, you know, whatever. Call in the drone Air Force, and then the corporation will have like a bank of 12 drones on the roof. The drones launch, the drones come in, and then start announcing on loudspeakers, you know, like from RoboCop.
You are trespassing on corporate grounds. Leave the area immediately or face arrest.
You know, something like that, right? Those are Cylon cyborg robots right there. But you get the idea. Between the drones and the humanoid robots and all the surveillance and everything, a lot of corporations, a lot of governments, even malls, you know, they're going to have a robot walking around doing security, keeping an eye on everything. And it won't be long before everyday people in society are like, oh yeah, it's another, you know, humanoid robot walking around. It'll become normal faster than you think, because you're going to see these robots serving you fast food. You're going to see these robots in the hospitals. You're going to see these robots, you know, directing traffic, helping police. They're going to be everywhere across society. They're going to be picking crops. They're going to be restocking food at the grocery store. They're going to be working in warehouses, all of it. They're going to be unloading trucks, you know. They're going to be doing everything. So it's going to become very normal. And then you're going to start to wonder, hey, where did all the people go? You know, because quietly there's going to be another pandemic and more injections and more die-offs and more myocarditis. Oh, that's so weird. Why is everybody dying from heart attacks? And yeah, that's going to happen. And then slowly there's going to be more robots and fewer humans, more robots, fewer humans, until they get to the point where it's like, hey, we got enough robots to just take out the humans, you know? And that's going to be like Terminator Day. All the Terminators go bad. And they try to strangle all the humans. I mean, I know I'm kind of making light of this, but I don't mean it that way. This is actually where this is headed. Remember, the globalists need to eliminate billions of people. And humanoid robots are one way to accelerate that process by having a war against humanity. And we are now watching the infrastructure of this being constructed every day out of, you know, out of China. I mean, these papers are talking about the supply chain infrastructure. There's also a lot of research and development in America. You know, you saw all the videos of the Boston Dynamics robots and the Google robots and so on. There's a lot going on under the Pentagon, under the military that you haven't seen yet, but you will see. And I'm talking about weird, like worm squiggly robots in the ocean and things like that. And not just humanoid robots in the military, but, you know, mules and dogs and small animal robots, some of which will be basically, you know, suicide bots. Just like right now in the war with Russia and Ukraine, Russia has the suicide drones. They're kamikaze drones. That's their goal. They carry an explosive charge, right? And then a pilot guides them into an enemy target, which might be a Leopard 2 tank, or it might be a, you know, some kind of infantry fighting vehicle or artillery position or something like that. Well, it won't be long before that's all self-decided, where the drone or the robo dog or the robo humanoid or whatever it is, it's going to be self-guiding, self-aware in the sense of it's aware of its surroundings. It's going to be given a command like run out there in the forest and find all the, you know, enemies and just blow them up and just self-detonate when you get close to two or three of them. And boom, they're going to unleash, you know, 1,000 robot dogs across the forest. Just start blowing up. I mean, what's the defense against that? EMP weapons? You better have a lot of EMPs, is all I'm saying. You better have a lot of EMPs, because it's going to be hard to shoot 1,000 robot dogs as they're charging you. And they're just kamikaze, suicide, robot Terminator, you know, German Shepherds or whatever they are. I mean, my dog, sometimes I think he's a Terminator. My dog is like a highly trained machine who's super capable of taking out enemy targets. You should see some of the training videos of my dog, but I can't imagine if that's a robot dog doing that, I would freak out. Someday I'm going to have to shoot a video of this. My dog can leap 30 feet in linear distance. When he comes running and he's trying to get the ring toys that he loves, and I toss the ring into the air in just the right way, he leaps. He goes over my head. He catches the ring and then he lands like, you know, far behind me. He's leaping. I swear his head is 9 feet in the air and his body leaps 30 feet. It is insane. I've shown other people that, and they're just, their minds are blown. They're like, oh my God, I can't believe he just did that. Scary enough. Imagine if it's a cyborg dog. Now, you're familiar with a company called OpenAI, Sam Altman. They had a little kerfuffle. Is that the right word for it? A couple weeks ago, where Sam Altman was suddenly fired after he had hinted at some kind of major breakthrough at the company. Some people believe that breakthrough was AGI, or artificial general intelligence, and that suddenly he was pushed out because it was believed to be too dangerous for humanity's survival. Well, Sam Altman was reinstated, and it's still a mystery as to what breakthrough he was referring to. But OpenAI is the company behind ChatGPT, which is currently in version 4.0, which is a generative pre-trained transformer GPT that mimics writing and sentences, and you can ask it questions like, hey, write me a haiku about stormy nights in San Francisco or whatever, and it'll do that, which is fine. Or, hey, write an essay, write a story for me, answer this question, whatever. It'll do its best, but as we saw earlier, it can't answer questions about gravity. It can't reason. But some people believe that OpenAI, which is not an open source company, just to be clear, it's a centralized company that has central control, which I am opposed to. I believe in decentralization. I believe in open source. I believe in power to the people. In other words, distributing code and knowledge and freedom to the people. I believe in grassroots democratization of knowledge. And OpenAI stands against all of that. They want to control and profit from their innovations. And some people believe they just achieved AGI, artificial general intelligence, and that this AGI would now give their system the ability to reason. Now, this is a very big deal. This is such a big deal that if you truly understand this, you would buy a bigger bunker. You would get as far away from the cities as possible. You would get as off the grid as you could if you truly understood it, if you believe this is true. Because if AGI has been achieved, then we know that by the year 2025, or certainly by 2027, that the humanoid robots rolling off the assembly lines in China, and then not long after, Korea, Japan, Taiwan, the USA, Russia, and so on, these robots are going to be given AGI, artificial general intelligence. And what that means is that you can give them specific tasks without having to give them models, libraries of behavior that they would have to use in order to accomplish those tasks. They would be able to reason out a means of accomplishing that task, such as, hey, I need you to scale the side of that building and reach the top, get to the top and stand on the top. And then a humanoid robot would look at the building and it would start to simulate in its own little robot mind, how am I going to scale that building? And it would start to try things out in its simulator. And, oh, that didn't work. That didn't work. That didn't work. What did I get? Spiked shoes. No, that didn't work. What super glue to the cement. No, that didn't work. It would eventually figure out, oh, I need to rig like a rope or a pulley system or a grapple. I need a grapple launcher, right? And it would launch a grapple and throw a hook over the edge, and then it would climb up. But you never taught it that. Nobody taught it that. So artificial general intelligence gives robots, when it's combined with them, the ability to think creatively, to engage in actual cognition, aided by world simulators, understanding the laws of physics and consequences and the flow of time and things like that, cause and effect, Newtonian motion, and then it would be able to solve problems in the real physical world in 3D space. It would also be able to solve mathematical problems by the same pathways. To say, oh, my goal is to solve this equation, and how do I get there? Here's step by step. Each step has to pass the test of reasoning and discernment, and each test is, let's say, assessed by another alternate ego personality of an AI agent that exists inside the same robot's brain. So the robot would actually have its own AI manager. I know I'm getting too far off base here, but understand that you and I, we only have one stream of consciousness, but an AI robot isn't limited to one stream of consciousness. An AI robot could actually have three personalities in the robot, and all three of them could be given the same problem. And then if two out of the three agree on a solution, then it goes with that solution. But the three personalities can be a counterbalance against the others. Because if one of the personalities comes up with some crazy idea, oh, let's get a trampoline and we'll jump up the side of the building. The other two are like, that won't work. The trampoline would break, So you would have AI agents inside the robot, whereas you and I don't have AI agents. We might have neighbors and friends like, that's stupid. Don't jump off the roof, you know, into the pool. But some people do, and they end up on YouTube anyway. But a robot would have that system. Now, that brings me to the topic of autogen. So if you type in the following address in a browser, aka.ms, which stands for Microsoft, so aka.ms/autogen, that's AUTOGEN, you're going to see a page, which is actually, it goes to GitHub. It's autogen, which is a next generation large language model applications. This is a framework of multiple agent or AI agent interaction that's been released by Microsoft. It supports LLMs, which is large language models, but more importantly, the APIs that allow large language models to be queried and for responses to be captured and passed on to other agents. By agents, I mean AI agents. Now, let me translate this into like normal human speak. And the upshot here is this is going to replace half of the white-collar jobs in finance, in insurance, in government. Like, here's an example. Suppose that you have a job as an insurance adjuster, and you get a claim that comes in, oh, there was a car wreck, and somebody's filled out the forms, and you read the explanation, and you have to make a decision about, is this claim legit? You know, is our insurance customer, are they at fault, or is the other party at fault, or what other questions do I need to ask? All right. Those kinds of activities, which are currently conducted by human beings, within 5 years, that will all be replaced by AI systems such as autogen. And government workers that currently handle the bureaucracy, you know, handling concealed carry applications or looking over, you know, budgetary planning and producing reports, all of that, it's all going to be obsolete. I mean, the humans will be obsolete. This will all be replaced by systems like autogen. Now, autogen, just released by Microsoft, I mean, just, I think, a month ago or something close to that, and it's open source. You can use this. You can download it for free. And a lot of people like to use it with Python. You can download Python for free if you know how to write code at all. You can figure out how to write some code in Python. As you know, I used to code in PHP, and I spent a lot of years doing advanced relational database SQL queries, and I used to write in classic ASP and, of course, a lot of Visual Basic. I never wrote in C++ or C# or any of those languages, but Python is super easy, so I can write the stuff in Python. But let me explain how this might work. Let's say that you're a manager of... let's say an investment company, and you want to know what would be the best suggestions for your clients to invest in this week in terms of commodities. Okay. So here's what you would do. You would literally type a sentence into an interface of autogen, and you would say, Hey, autogen, or whatever you want to call it. You could call it Bob. Hey, Bob. I want you to go find, like literally you can type this in. I want you to find for me the top 100, let's say, precious metals mining companies that have the lowest stock value as a percentage of the reported undiscovered metals assets that are still in the ground. Okay, does that make sense? So you want to know which companies have the most metal still unmined and yet have the lowest stock price compared to the mass of the metal that has yet to be discovered, right? So there's a research project for you. Now, normally you and I would have to go do all this research manually, right? Well, you can just tell autogen, do that and bring it back to me in a table format and also a graph and go do it, okay? Autogen would do that. It would actually, by invoking other AI agents, one of which could be an agent that knows how to look up stock prices online. It actually accesses the internet, goes out on the internet, looks up all the prices. It searches around until it finds what you're looking for, the reports and so on. It gathers all that information. It produces a report, and then you can have another AI agent that's actually a reviewer of that report to look at it and see, like, does it all add up? Does it make sense? And when it's all said and done, and it might take a few hours for this to happen, by the way, but when it's all said and done, it would kick it back to you as like a PDF. You could even tell it, I want the results in a PDF format, you know, Adobe PDF. And it would do that, and it would give you the PDF file. Boom, you open it up. There's everything you wanted. Wow, there's the top 100, you know, silver and gold and platinum mining companies that I asked for based on these parameters. AutoGen can do that right now. So if your job involves something like what I just described, your job is obsolete. And white collar workers, people who crunch numbers, people who assess, you know, forms or insurance claims, like I said, or financial people, or people who work at banks and they're like loan officers who try to determine whether this loan is a good loan or not. Guess what? You're obsolete. It's going to be replaced by agents, AI agents, AutoGen and others. This exists now. I'm not talking about some science fiction future, you know, 5 years down the road. I'm talking about this was released in October of this year. And almost no one's heard about this. And the people who are going to be replaced haven't heard about it. And the people who are going to be replaced by robotics don't realize it because they're not reading the Chinese document that I just read for you, which admittedly I can't read the Chinese either. So fortunately we have it all translated, but these things either exist right now or they're on the way. And in fact, AutoGen is called, I'm reading the Microsoft website. It says a multi-agent conversation framework. So AutoGen provides multi-agent conversation framework as a high-level abstraction. One can conveniently build LLM workflows. Now, you need to understand what that means. It means that you can have multiple AI agents that can talk to each other using AutoGen. You could have one agent that is especially trained in finance, another agent trained in insurance risk analysis, another agent trained in writing code, another agent trained in mathematics, another agent trained in creative story writing. And you could have, for example, you could type into AutoGen, I want you to write 100 short stories about time travel using furry creatures, because, you know, we see furries all over the place now, furry creatures as the lead characters. Go. And then the AutoGen, the first AI agent would be a manager that would manage the project. Okay, I have 100 tasks. And then it would hand out the task to the fiction writing agent, which would produce the short story, kick it back to the manager agent. The manager agent would take a look at that and see if it fits the description of what the task was. Then it files that away. And then it assigns the second task to the fiction writing agent and so on. And when it's all said and done, the managing agent gives you a final file. Oh, here's 100 short stories, just like you asked. Oh, here's one with a time traveling fox. Here's a time traveling rabbit. Here's a time traveling Wolverine, whatever. Whatever you can think of. That exists right now. I could put that code together in Python in a few minutes and actually do that. And it's not hard to think about all the applications of this and how a lot of white collar workers are going to be replaced. You know, for example, suppose that you're considering hiring somebody and you want to know, like, is this person reliable? Does their social media have anything freaky in it? Like furries, let's say. Time traveling furries. Well, you know, you can subscribe to services that will do background checks on people, but you could also just tell AutoGen, hey, here's this person's name and, you know, some the year they were born or whatever, if you have permission for this. And I want you to go out and like find their whole history and tell me if there's anything freaky. And it would do that if you defined it well enough. Or if you're a journalist, let's say you're a journalist and you're like, hey, I want to know if there's any connection between the CEO of Pfizer and, you know, anything else you can think of, like, I don't know, the global banking empires or something. or Jeffrey Epstein or whatever, right? Or Bill Clinton. You know, I want to know, what are all the ties between Bill Clinton and Jeffrey Epstein? Well, right now you might think, oh, I'm going to go to Google and type that in on a search engine. Well, yeah, Google, of course, is going to censor all that information, especially being about Epstein. Google's going to protect Pfizer. Google's, by the way, Google's going to be obsolete in a few years because of this technology. But this autogen agent will do what you want it to do, and it can go out and start traversing the web and searching through social media and running queries and following links. And it can actually scour the web, and it can do research for you, and it can use publicly accessible open source databases such as county records and state records and, you know, divorce records and marriage records and whatever, death records, and which are all open source. This AI system will be able to go out and do all of that and bring back the information to you. Like, here it is, kaboom. So if you're a journalist, you might spend right now over half your time doing research, trying to find things like following leads. Under AutoGen and the AI agents that are being deployed now, you're not going to have to spend any time doing research. You're just going to type your query, and you're going to wait a few hours while it does the research for you, so you can go off to Starbucks and have your frappe latte or whatever you have over there. And then you can come back, boom, the research is done. Now all you have to do is write it up. But guess what? There's another AI agent for that. So you type in, clickety-clack, write me a story using the following research document. You give it a PDF that discusses the links between Bill Clinton and Jeffrey Epstein. Enter, kaboom, bam, you go have another coffee. You come back, boom, the story's all written. You see what I mean? Your world is about to be rocked. All of us. Even what I do. I mentioned this yesterday. The new AI chatbot that we're going to be releasing, that's a specialist chatbot focused on health and nutrition and wellness and indigenous medicine and all of that. That chatbot is going to make my job easier, because I can just enter a query into it and I can get a research compilation without even having to search the web at all. And I can get citations and everything. And then I just compose a story. Now, I'm not going to use, you know, an AI system to write my stories. I'm not going to have an AI ghostwriter for my stories, because that's just lame. And I know how to write. You know, I'm a professional writer. I've been doing it for decades. But a lot of people don't know how to write. They suck at it. They're going to use the AI system. They're just going to say, write me this, write me that, boom. So the whole concept of content as it exists online right now is also about to be, in a way, obsolete, because the world is going to be flooded. And this is already happening on Amazon, where Amazon's being flooded with AI written books. People are using ChatGPT to write little books, and then they try to publish them on Amazon. And some people are making money doing that. I mean, it's silly. It's stupid. Because the whole concept now of a book is also, in a sense, outdated, because you can just ask the chat system anything. Like, why do you own a book? Like, oh, here's a book on how to do permaculture. So you read the book, you learn how to do permaculture. Well, if you want to learn permaculture, you don't need the book anymore. You just go to your AI chat system and you type in, you know, what are the 10 most important steps to get started in permaculture? And it just gives you the answer. It writes it right then. You understand what I'm saying? The whole structure of the way that we interact with knowledge and content is about to change. In fact, the whole structure of what we do at naturalnews.com, you know, publishing articles written by human beings, right? That model is about to become a dinosaur. You're going to be inundated with online content written by AI systems from all kinds of new, like, startup publishers that don't even try to bring in humans. They don't even try to have reasoning. They're just going to churn out, like a bunch of clickbait factories, just a bunch of AI generated story content just to try to get eyeballs and traffic. You know, of course, we will not do that, but there's going to be a lot of unscrupulous publishers out there that do that. And some have already done it. There are some publications. In fact, I think, I don't remember if it was Vice or somebody else, kind of a left-wing publication, I remember, had fired a bunch of writers and they started using AI to write the articles for them. It's like, wow, that was fast. And where this is going to happen instantly is in sports journalism. Because, you know, how hard is it to have a pattern of covering the story of what happened in the game? Oh, you know, in the second half of the game, you know, the Jets came back from a loss and there was a fumble on the 12-yard line. And then this player did that and there was a long pass and then they made it across. I mean, you know, AI systems can write that in their sleep. Sports reporting, financial reporting. Oh, what happened to the stock market today? Well, guess what? Type it into AutoGen. Hey, summarize what happened to the stock market today. Click, go, boom. Done. That's an article. So the whole way that we interact with information, with content, with our jobs, with each other, it's all obsolete. I mean, the way that you've known it is obsolete. It's done. The future will not resemble the past. This is almost like a singularity type of moment. This is a tipping point moment in the restructuring of human societies, the restructuring of knowledge and information. And this is why I am battling so hard for the democratization of this technology. Because if we don't take control over this individually among we the people, then we will end up as nothing but slaves with our techno overlords, you know, the technocrat overlords with their robotic humanoid enforcers and their AI drone, you know, prison guards for Prison Planet, right? So if the governments and the corporations dominate this technology, which is exactly what they intend to do, then we all end up slaves, if not dead, in the globalist engineered future, which doesn't need very many human beings. And this is why the depopulation agenda is underway. This is why they're mass killing people with, you know, plandemics and injections and jabs and transhumanism, mRNA and whatever. This is why they're doing that. They don't need you. They don't want you. So we have to seize control over this technology. We have to democratize it. We have to open source it. We have to share it. We have to reject thinking in the traditional manner of like greed and power, like, oh, how much can I take for myself at the expense of everybody else? You know, look, because that's the way the corporations run. That's Google. That's Microsoft, right? That's every government. That's every war manufacturing weapons company. We have to stop thinking like that. And we have to think along the lines of, hey, how can we survive as a species? How can we live in a sustainable way? How can we find peace with each other? How can we generate mutual benefits? How can we coexist with this technology where we are in control rather than us being slaves to the technology? These are the critical questions of our time. And that's why I'm fighting so passionately to embrace and yet deploy AI chatbot systems using these principles of democratization, giving the systems to the people for free with an open source license so that you can augment it. You can use that as a starting point and you can modify the system for your own purposes. Because I'm standing on the shoulders of giants before me, other people, other open source efforts and nonprofits and volunteer teams and so on. I'm going to give them all credit, of course, as we announce all this, but I'm a contributor to this. That's the goal. We have to work together. Otherwise, we all die. We all freaking die, strangled to death by Tyborg the Terminator or time-traveling furries. We have to work together, which means we got to think beyond, you know, power, profits, and greed, and how much can I have for myself? You're so precious. And we have to think about, I mean, almost hate to use the phrase, but We have to think about the greater good here. We got to think about the future for our children and our grandchildren. We have to think about sustainability of human society because we can't turn back the clock on this technology. There's no way to undo AI. You understand? I had a couple of people yesterday asking me questions. Why are you working in AI? You know, it's like, it's the demon technology. Well, it's a demon technology when it's used against us, just as, you know, internet censorship or the television, you know, television was supposed to bring us knowledge and it's become kind of a demon tube, you know, with all this horrible satanic programming on it, right? But AI doesn't have to be a demon. We can carry out an exorcism of the demon, and we can replace the AI with something that we built, something that works for us. It's like we capture a Terminator, and then we swap out, we wipe the mind of the Terminator, we swap it out with our code. Now, like Terminator 2, the Terminator protects John Connor instead of trying to hunt him down and kill him. That's what we are doing with this AI system. We're using this technology to fight for good, to empower humanity, instead of using this technology to enslave and annihilate humanity. So we can't make the tech disappear. We better get on top of it. We better master it. We better deploy it in a way that is consistent with our principles and goals of human sustainability and human survivability. And personally, this is having such an impact on me, and understanding, like thinking forward about what's going to happen in our world. I can barely sleep right now. And I'm supposed to be spending the holidays here, by the way, in my time off. I'm supposed to do the final approval for my new book, which I have delayed for a long time. And the book is called Survival Nutrition. And it's based on my free audiobook that I released a couple of years ago. You can find that for free, by the way, at survivalnutrition.com. But there's a whole new book that has been written based on that. And I did have help writing it. So there are other professional writers that help put together that book based on my original recordings. And so I have to go through and approve everything, make sure it's all good. And I'm having trouble in my own mind and heart here thinking like, why should I bother? Books are obsolete at this point. I mean, really what I should do is I should take my book manuscript, Survival Nutrition, and I should feed it into this AI system, which I probably will do, and use it to train the AI, which I will do, and then release the AI system this coming March so that everybody can essentially talk to my book. So think about this. If I were to say to you, hey, I have a new book. It's called Survival Nutrition. Would you like to read the book? Or would you rather just have a conversation with the book? And you're like, what do you mean? I'm like, what if the book could talk and you could just ask it anything you want? I'm like, really? You can do that? Yes, you can. I can feed the book into the AI system and I can let you download the AI system and you could run it on your computer. Like, wow, what do you want to ask it? Okay. Which nutrients are most important for skin healing after suffering battle wounds? Okay, there's a survival nutrition question. Guess what? I've got that answer in the book, but you don't have to find it. The system just answers you. You know, according to Survival Nutrition by Mike Adams, it's just going to give you the whole thing. The following nutrients, zinc accelerates wound healing, blah, 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 which is true, by the way. Wow, which herbs and nutrients protect my night vision capabilities, like natural, low light sensitivity of my eyes. Which nutrients do that the best? Boom. You can ask the book. And the book, the AI system will answer you if it's been trained by the book. So you and I are going to have to think about the world in a completely different way from what we have understood in the past. I mean, the world, you're about to be taken on a roller coaster, man. This is a whirlwind. You're going to feel like you're lifted off your feet at times. It's going to be very, discombobulating. I think that's the term. You're like, what is a book? It's a way to access knowledge. Is it the only way to access knowledge? No. By the way, I'm not anti-book. I'm not trying to destroy the sales of my own book, obviously. But the only reason I write a book is because I want to impart information to people. Books don't make much money, by the way. I mean, it's not a profit agenda. It's just getting information out to people. Well, guess what? That whole system, the world is going to embrace a different way to gain knowledge. In fact, search engines are going to be obsolete too. So a lot of books will be obsolete, search engines obsolete. You're going to be, if you just want information, you're going to ask an AI system. That's the way it's going to work. Now, you might enjoy reading books for entertainment purposes or just for relaxation or just for the joy of the reading experience, which I totally understand. I'm with you on that. I love reading. But if you're just seeking out information, 10 years from now, you're not gonna go to a book. You're gonna go to an AI agent and you're gonna just ask. And then, by the way, this also exists right now. It's a simple matter to have a natural language processing voice recognition. So you'll be able to just speak to the computer. I call this Star Trek technology. You just be able to speak like, computer, tell me what are the primary health benefits of zinc or green tea? And then the computer, it'll parse that into a text sentence. The text sentence will be passed to an AI agent. The AI agent will run the query. It'll produce a response. And then the response will be run through a text to voice AI speech synthesis system, which I demonstrated last year by having an artificial speech in my own voice. Remember that? I showed you what that sounds like. There's a company out there called 11 Labs. I think it's 11labs.io. They do that. And the computer will just speak the answer back to you in a normal, natural human sounding language. So you will literally be able to do what they did in Star Trek. You just walk up to the computer, computer, you know, tell me how many different species exist on the planet Zorg that we're orbiting right now. And it'll do its thing and it'll respond back to you. There are 1,507 species of mammals or whatever. That's how it's going to work. And at some point, humans will completely forget how to type. And it'll be like, typing? Well, that's what old people do. Old people type. Seriously. All the young people today that can type at 1,000 miles on their mobile phones. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. How did you even type that fast with your little tiny spider fingers? Yeah, in 40 years, that's obsolete. Nobody's typing. People are just asking questions verbally. typing would be something that only like weird geeky coders do. Here's an article from Natural News. Elon Musk says Microsoft is developing a real life Skynet AI to control every facet of human life. He says a new Microsoft AI chipset called Maya is set to be the cornerstone of the company's budding AI infrastructure, which competes with that being created by Musk, hence his criticism of it. So Maya will bring artificial generalized intelligence, AGI, to every facet of human life. So Scott Guthrie, the vice president of the cloud and AI group at Microsoft, says, quote, Microsoft has reimagined our infrastructure with end-to-end systems approach to meet our customers' unique AI and cloud needs. With the launch of our new AI accelerator, Azure Maya, and cloud-native CPU, Azure Cobalt, alongside our continued partnerships with silicon providers, we can now provide even more choice and performance. Okay. Now, essentially, what this means is that, you know how GPUs are used for language processing, for large language models. What Microsoft has put together is a specially focused chipset that will bring the computing power for statistical analysis of large language models to the desktop at probably a couple orders of magnitude less cost than it currently costs. So as these chips start to get integrated into devices and desktop systems, you're going to see some of the scenarios I just described. You're going to see them become very commonplace. Every bank will buy a computer with the Microsoft AI chipset. Every investment house, every hedge fund, every school system, every government department. This Maya chipset will be able to do behavior modeling and process flow modeling of business logistics, i.e. moving paper around, making decisions, doing analysis, comparative analysis, research, all these kinds of things, even writing code. Every organization in the world that wants to continue to exist will have an AI system, if not an AI system on every desktop. And every business function will be turned over to this AI system with humans just sitting back to do quality control, essentially, just to say, does that look right? Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Okay. That one's thumbs up. And then within a generation, all the humans who know how to do anything will be gone, except for those who write the code for the AI systems. They need to be on top of things. And But even engineers, you know, AI systems will design the bridges. They'll do the load calculations and they'll understand the materials. Medicine, you know, aerospace, creative writing, Hollywood scripts. I mean, right now, Hollywood writers are all but obsolete right now today. And that's going to continue. AI systems are going to expand into more and more areas. And some people think, oh, this is great. I don't have to work. It's not great. Because if you don't have anything to offer society beyond what a microchip can do, then the globalists are going to find a way to get rid of you. Hence, more vaccines, folks. More vaccines, more pesticides, more war, more dirty bomb, terrorist incidents, and so on. They're going to find a way to get rid of you. They don't need you. In fact, the only way for governments to remain solvent is to get rid of entitlement payments. I mean, look at the United States. It's like, what, $1.4 trillion a year just on Medicare and Medicaid. Another, what is it, like over a trillion per year on Social Security. You get rid of those two things, the government actually is mostly solvent. And how do they get rid of those two things? They kill everybody off who's collecting, you know, collecting the pensions, collecting Social Security. Hence, again, more vaccines, more genocide, more pandemics, more famine, destroying the food system, famine, starvation, chaos, economic collapse, leading to violence in the cities and so on. Folks, look, the current picture is not that difficult to understand when you understand where AI has, where it has reached now. Sorry, I could have said that better. But if you understand the state of the art of AI and robotics, then you know why the globalists are in a mad hurry to eliminate as many humans as possible. Because half the population is about to become obsolete. They will have nothing to offer that this Microsoft chipset can't do for a tiny fraction of the cost. Think about that. Now, what I find interesting in all of this is that, you know, Microsoft, of course, Bill Gates stole a bunch of ideas in the early days from Xerox, the ideas for Windows. You know, the original Windows, was it 3.1, I think, was the early version that started to work. Stole that and the mouse idea and everything from, I think, from Xerox. But Windows was the dominant force in computing until search engines came along, and then Google, you know, with the internet and then search engines, Google became the dominant force. And Microsoft was kind of pushed to the back burner, mostly writing applications and so on. And of course, you know, infrastructure like Azure, now cloud computing platforms. But with AI, Microsoft is going to be back in the lead. I see Microsoft, and I don't own any Microsoft stock, by the way. So I'm not pitching for Microsoft. I mean, it's a globalist corporation. I'm not a fan of any globalist corporation. But Microsoft has positioned itself to actually be the dominant force yet again in this space. And AI is going to make search engines obsolete. So Google will be a flash in the pan, unless Google has a breakthrough in AI or quantum computing, which some people believe they have made a quantum computing breakthrough with 56-qubit quantum computers. That's debatable. I don't have time to go into it. But Google can very quickly disappear relative to the dominance it once had because of the rise of AI and the companies that are mastering AI, which includes, of course, Microsoft. Of course, Meta is involved as well. And, you know, NVIDIA is making the hardware for the GPUs that are used in these systems. So those companies are going to do very well in terms of, you know, future returns on present day investments. AI is here to stay. And that's why I'm going to great lengths to try to lasso it, you know, to try to wrangle it into something that we understand and that we can share and that we can, you know, decentralize for the benefit of humankind. Because I don't want any of us to be strangled awake in the middle of the night with the, you know, the hands of a communist time-traveling Terminator robot around our neck when we should be in control of this technology and we should use it to help increase human liberty, abundance, and to end human suffering. That's the correct application of this technology, in my point of view. So join me in this effort. Number one, let's all become fluent in what's happening. I probably said a lot of things here in this podcast today that you did not know about. Some of them are probably quite horrifying, but it's all true. This is happening now. So let's become aware. And by the way, you can watch my show, decentralize.tv is the website where I talk about, I interview experts in decentralization. I just posted a new episode that's pretty interesting. It's about one of the core developers, Andrei Sabilnikov. He was the key developer of CryptoNote, privacy cryptocurrency. And he's now the lead developer, I believe, of Zano, Z-A-N-O. I think it's at Zano.org, which is a privacy-oriented crypto ecosystem. But I'm going to be interviewing people about AI, about decentralization of key technologies, about large language models, and so on. So check out my show, decentralized.tv. And then secondly, understand what it is that you offer the world that differs from what, you know, microchips can do. I mean, microchips can write stories. But what can you do that they can't? What do you have in terms of innovation and creativity and out-of-the-box thinking and grasping big concepts and aggregating concepts? What are your special skills? What are your problem-solving skills, your reasoning, discernment, all these things? How can you apply these attributes that you have to the world to insulate yourself from the massive wipeout of blue-collar jobs and white-collar jobs that's coming as the robot takeover accelerates? I feel sorry for warehouse workers and fast food workers and even doctors who are, many of whom are functioning as just pharmaceutical pill pushers. They're going to be replaced by robots just like that because they don't do anything that's human. It's just always, here's the symptoms, here's a pill, bye, you know, that's it. I mean, they're obsolete. It's even surgical robots are coming on the scene soon. Will replace a lot of surgeons, not all of them. There will always be a place for, you know, highly trained surgeons who can solve unique problems. You know, trauma surgeons, for example. But robots are going to automate more and more medical procedures as the years move forward, especially diagnosis, because that's, you know, that's information. Diagnosis and prescribing, that's just information. Meanwhile, I'm going to be releasing open source large language models that teach you how to use, you know, herbs and how to grow your own medicine and what is chlorine dioxide and, you know, all of these things that matter for empowerment. And the best way that you can support me in that effort, should you choose to do that, is just keep shopping with us online, healthrangerstore.com, where we have lab verified clean food. You know, I run a mass spec laboratory. And in fact, in December, I'm finally getting trained on the dioxin testing mass spec instrument, which is a triple quad GC instrument. So gas chromatography, or GC-MS-MS, you could say technically. So gas chromatography with a triple quadrupole for sensitivity. And I can't wait for that. It's going to be fun. I'm going to film a lot of videos for you. I'll probably geek out on that a little bit, but I'm really looking forward to bringing you dioxin testing. But we do heavy metals testing, we do glyphosate testing, we do microbiology, E. coli, salmonella, yeast and mold, and so on. We do those tests right now. We also test aflatoxins for nuts and seeds using a different instrument. But we're going to add dioxin testing. So I believe in using these tools that science develops to help humanity be healthy and free. So just as I use the mass spec instruments in the lab to help heal the world with clean food, and thank you for supporting me in that effort, and you can do that at healthrangerstore.com. I also believe in healing the world through knowledge and the democratization of knowledge, the gathering of knowledge. And what is so cool about this new project I'm working on, and I have a code name for it. I'm not ready to share the code name yet, but I will soon. What I love about this project is that I'm aggregating the world's best knowledge on herbs, nutrients, natural medicine, phytochemicals, indigenous medicine, ancient modalities, all kinds of things. I'm aggregating all the best knowledge in the world through millions of documents and putting it into a library that you can download to your local computer for free and query that system on your local computer, even without an internet that works. I mean, no internet access required. How cool is that? It's like, this is the best thing ever. I mean, it thrills me to be able to do this and to bring this tool to you. And it's only through your support that we could make this happen. I have I've become aware that we're going to have to rent some computer time for some of the language learning processing. And I've been informed the computer time is going to cost about $100,000 because it's a serious, like, supercomputer GPU system. Yeah, it's going to cost $100,000 to train this system. That's okay. That's okay. Thanks to your support, we have that. And that's what we're going to do with it, because we're going to build systems that help set you free, that bring you knowledge. And we're going to distribute these far and wide. And you can even take this downloaded system and you can put it on a thumb drive, copy the file, give it to your friend. And now your friend has access to all the same knowledge. Isn't that cool? And it's also going to cover permaculture, by the way, and growing food and some holistic agricultural practices as well, like growing organics, things like that. So ultimately, I'm going to enhance this library system with knowledge about, you know, self-reliance, how to grow food, how to make your own medicine, how to live off-grid, you know, how to be healthy, even if systems of society don't function well, which they, you know, the power grid isn't reliable, you know, the banks aren't reliable, and so on. So I'm going to be doing my best to bring you this information and bring you these tools and help you survive the robot apocalypse that is really coming. This is not science fiction. That's what's so bizarre about this. I'm not talking about something that's, you know, in the future. Like, this is starting now. I mean, China is mass producing these humanoid robots in 2025, and Microsoft just released the multiple agent workflow, process flow AI system, and they've got their new AI microchips as well, the Maya chipset. Folks, this stuff is happening. Most of humanity is going to be obsolete in the next few years. Oh, and don't forget about the self-driving vehicles, you know, so truck drivers are going to face a lot of obsolescence because of, you know, autopiloting trucks. They're going to drive themselves, at least on the highways. And they might need a human driver for the last few miles and, you know, to back the truck into the dock and whatever, or to navigate city traffic. But on the highways, man, it's going to be autopilot systems. It's going to be AI drivers. Same thing with airplane pilots and so on. AI is going to take over so many areas of our lives, including law enforcement, you know, first responders, firefighters, soldiers, you know, you name it, medical workers, home care workers, teachers, you know. I wonder if they'll have like drag queen robots to take the place of the drag queen teachers that are terrorizing our children in the public schools. I wonder. It'd be like LGBT Tyborg the Terminator. The robot's not sure if it wants to terminate your child or mutilate your child in the name of gender equality. You know, that's probably coming. Oh, good. We got rid of the drag queen story time. But in its place is a transgender Terminator robot that wants to mutilate your child in the name of gender equity. Yeah, that's a horrifying future. Oh, watch out in that corner. Time traveling furries. Yeah. Who knows? Who knows what's coming? I will try to keep you informed as best I can. In the meantime, definitely support us, healthrangerstore.com. And I am reinvesting your support into systems that help set humanity free. We're going to change the future together. Listen to my announcement yesterday, if you missed it, about the AI chatbot system focused on health and nutrition. This is a game changer for the future of the world. This is the most important project I've ever worked on. And it's the most important thing that we've ever done as publishers. And it is something that's going to change your life. You will be interacting with our AI chatbot starting next year for the rest of your life. And it'll all be free, by the way. How cool is that? It'll all be free. It'll run on your computer. You don't even need a fancy computer. I think you need like 8 gigs of RAM or 16 gigs of RAM, something like that. But these days, that's pretty small. All right. So I do not have an interview for you today because of the length of this podcast. I'm sorry it went on so long, but I had a lot to cover. However, I will pick up interviews beginning tomorrow. And I have an interview with Ty Bollinger that you'll really want to watch, because the next program we have launching at Brighteon University, which is found at brightu.com. That's just the letter U, BRIGHTU.com. It's called Eastern Medicine. And it's a docuseries produced by Ty and Charlene Bollinger that delves into, well, I mean, he traveled to 7 Asian countries to interview all of the top holistic practitioners and alternative medicine and complementary medicine practitioners and herbalists and so on to get the best knowledge out of those countries. And he put it together in a documentary format. And we are running that free of charge beginning. I think Eastern Medicine begins streaming on either December 9th or December 16th. I'm sure it's one of those two. I'll double check that for you tomorrow. But if you go to brightu.com right now, it may not yet show Eastern Medicine. It may still be showing Disease in Reverse, which is just finishing up. But you can still register there, and you'll be registered for the upcoming Eastern Medicine docuseries, which is extremely powerful. I mean, filled with knowledge. It's really great. So it's a live streaming docuseries, one episode streams each day, beginning on the start day, which is a Saturday. Again, I don't know if it's December 9th or December 16th, but it's one of those two. And there'll be an episode each day that just runs on a loop, and it's a live stream, which means you can't pause it. You can't go back in time. You can't be a time traveling furry. You have to watch it in real time. But if you miss it, it just keeps looping all day. So you can just go to brightu.com after you've registered, and you can just watch it until you see the whole episode. And then the following day, the next episode begins as well. You can also purchase a download of the whole thing if you want to watch it on your own time, but that's not required. You can watch it for free on the loop. All right, so I'll bring you more information tomorrow. And also, I think I'm going to run the interview with Ty Bollinger tomorrow. I plan to do that. I've got some other pretty amazing interviews coming up as well. Be sure to check out my show, decentralized.tv, as well as brighteon.tv, which has a great many shows and various hosts covering lots of important topics for our time, including the mass immigration or migration, illegal immigration into the United States that's taking place. It's also happening across Western Europe at the moment. Some people are covering updates on the Middle East. There's peace at the moment, or a temporary ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, or I'm sorry, Gaza. And reportedly that ceasefire is supposed to be extended a couple more days. I'm happy any day that bombs are not falling on innocent people and civilians. So I'm very happy when the bombs cease, even if it's 4 days or 6 days or 4 months, or how about forever? Could we do forever? That's my question. Oh, I'm being told here that Eastern Medicine starts on December 9th. So there we go. Saturday, December 9th, which is, what? That's only 2 weeks away. Okay. Less than 2 weeks away. So begins Saturday, December 9th. So sign up for that at brightu.com, B-R-I-G-H-T, followed by the letter U.com. Thanks for listening today. Hope I didn't give you Terminator nightmares, but we'll talk tomorrow. Take care. If you'd like to support your own health and longevity while also supporting this platform, check out the products we have back in stock now at healthrangerstore.com. We've got super anthocyanins, which is it's an incredible combination of aronia berries, and it's got blueberries. And you know how the dark purple pigments in plants, these have special properties, and that they're called anthocyanins. And you can find them in things like purple carrots or eggplant or purple corn. Well, we've captured those anthocyanins and put them in this format. It's a delicious way to add these very potent nutrients to any smoothie or recipe. And yes, they're very, very purple. So that's available now at healthrangerstore.com. We also have Greens Plus Superfood. You see on top there, that contains spirulina and various organic grass juices as well. Of course, all in powdered form. If you want to add greens to your diet in a convenient format, this is an easy way to do it. It goes into smoothies. You could use it in some recipes as well, but I think smoothies are the easier place to use it. As with all the products that we offer at healthrangerstore.com, these are also subjected to our rigorous laboratory testing, which includes heavy metals testing, lead, cadmium, mercury, and arsenic. And it also includes E. coli and salmonella testing. That's in our microbiology lab, as well as glyphosate testing. That's on our triple quad mass spec that does herbicide analysis. And of course, soon we're adding dioxin testing to this as well. So you can trust that these are clean, laboratory tested, certified organic products that are honestly labeled and honestly priced while offering tremendous nutritional value that can help support and enhance your good health. At the same time, you're benefiting this platform and keeping us on the air so we can continue to bring you uncensored interviews, podcasts, and content that helps enrich and enhance the lives of millions of people all over the world. Thank you for your support. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of HealthRangerStore.com.